The NFL Rookie Symposium starts on Wednesday for the draft choices of the Green Bay Packers. And appropriately, we bring on Thomas Hobbs of CheeseheadTV.com to help us discuss the Packers rookie class. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the NFL's Rookie Symposium, which begins on Wednesday for the Packers rookies. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Thomas Hobbs of CheeseheadTV.com. We have Thomas, the reason we bring you on the show is to welcome you to the audience here at Railbird Central, because you kind of came through on the transition from allgreenbaypackers.com to Cheesehead TV. So welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk a little Packers football here this morning. We'll get to the rookies in a second here, but the big news yesterday: the Packers sold out of tickets to their annual family night event. Did it surprise you that the Packers were able to sell about 75,000 tickets in a basically one day?
Nope, not really. I mean, think about how long the waiting list is for just regular season tickets. I mean, and you got to think family night, there's a long and storied history of it being rained out, and still people are, you know, hankering to get tickets. So no, not in any way. I thought they would sell out within a day, for sure.
Yeah, I guess maybe the time frame surprised me one day, but I'm definitely not surprised that it sold out. It just seems to be, especially coming off a year where they went to the NFC Championship game, interest is high in the Packers right now. So it was nice to see yesterday kind of the big story on a Tuesday here during the offseason. But the NFL's Rookie Symposium starts on Wednesday for the Packers. And I'm kind of curious, Thomas, do you think what they'll learn in 4 days is worthwhile in terms of how they handle themselves and conduct and making good decisions? This is kind of, you know, hailed as an orientation to the NFL. Because when you hear about football players getting in trouble, you kind of wonder if it goes in one ear and out the other.
I don't know. Do you think that 4 days really can change a 22-year-old's opinion on anything? I think people have to realize that, like, these guys are rookies, and, you know, they're about 22, 23 years old. And when you're 22 and 23 years old, you're, I mean, to say it bluntly, kind of dumb, right? Like, I mean, no, you know, that's not anything specific to, you know, NFL players or Packers rookies or anything in general. But I think, you know, the best you can really get from them is to maybe get some contacts, you know, maybe find out who some financial advisors are, who some maybe life coaches are, that sort of thing. But if you really expect them to, you know, change the outlook of their life or change how they act or how they, you know, they talk, you know, you're kind of hoping for a little bit too much. I mean, think about it from your perspective. Like, if your very first job, mm-hmm. you know, how much better of a person were you 4 days in, right? Like, no one. I mean, everyone's still confused. Everyone's still, you know, very nervous about the new, you know, the new environment and so forth. So I wouldn't put too much into it, but you'd hope that, you know, maybe they could start, you know, becoming more, I guess, responsible adults.
Yeah, I think when you're about 22 years old or so, you think you know everything and you really don't. But I guess you can't help those that don't want to be helped. Hopefully there's the vast majority of players are good people and don't get in trouble. So hopefully it's just always the focus on the negative that gets the media attention, I think. So there is a lot of good that comes out of it, I imagine. Rather appropriately, you recently published an article on what the Packers can expect from their rookies at Cheesehead TV. And before we get into specific players here, can you just kind of go over some of the general conclusions you drew from your research?
Yeah, sure. So basically, I guess the first sort of observation is that rookies aren't very good, which I don't think flies in the face of conventional wisdom. I think, you know, just like anyone, like going back to people going, starting new jobs, you know, the first, you know, couple months or whatever is always kind of rough. The transition is rough, you know, learning the new environment is rough. So I don't think that's unexpected, but it does seem like some rookies, or some positions, I should say, tend to fare a little bit better as rookies than others. So we've kind of been talking about in the comments, and there hasn't been much of a conclusion, but I mean, some positions like running back and linebacker seems to be slightly easier for rookies to really do well in. And conversely, it seems like, you know, quarterbacks, defensive linemen, and offensive tackles seem to do kind of the worst. And that's kind of not surprising, considering that's kind of what traditional thought has sort of said all along, right? You know, quarterback is very, very hard to transition to, you know, offensive tackle is very, very hard to transition to, and so forth. So,
yeah, I think that's appropriate that you kind of mentioned that, because I think some people do have a little bit unrealistic expectations for rookies, you know, just in general, you know, like rookies who make the Pro Bowl or are named to the All-Pro team. They are the exception to the rule, I think, because it doesn't happen that often. Most rookies are overwhelmed their rookie year. They don't, you know, really perform at a high level. And those that do are in a minority. So I think it is important to point that out. Now, seeing as you found out that rookie inside linebackers generally perform better than players at other positions, let's kind of extrapolate that to the Green Bay Packers here. Do you think there's a good chance Jake Ryan has a productive season in 2015?
I don't know if I'd say he has a good chance, but I'd say he has probably the best chance of the rookie class this year. I only say that because, number one, he has a pretty clear shot at actually playing a lot of time. So inside linebacker is not one of the Packers' strengths at the moment. Mm-hmm. Number two, Clay Matthews may or may not be all that much of an inside linebacker this year. It seems like indications out of the preseason at the moment seem to show that he is, but also keep in mind Clay Matthews has always been hurt. I mean, realistically, I mean, he's always had the calf injuries and whatnot. So there's that as well. So I would say overall, yeah, probably. I think he will probably have the most impact on the season. Whether or not they'll be good or bad is kind of more on him, I think.
We're talking to Thomas Hobbs of CheeseheadTV.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning, on the same day the NFL's Rookie Symposium begins for the Packers' draft choices. Thomas, cornerback seems to be somewhere in the middle among rookie performance, among all the positions that you kind of laid out in your article. What do you think that means for the first and second round draft picks of the Packers, Demaryius Randle and Quinton Rollins?
I think that means they'll probably struggle. At least historically, cornerbacks haven't been the greatest out of the gate. Mm-hmm. But you also have to consider the fact that the Packers do have Sam Shields and Hayward. So, you know, are Randle and Quinton Rollins only going to be sort of in the nickel, or is that, you know, Hyde's role, or are they in a dime? So there are ways that the Packers can sort of hide their rookies while they're sort of picking up the position. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on how it works, because with two first round quarterbacks slash safeties, who knows at this point, they can kind of mix and match. So if Randle kind of picks up slower, maybe they can use Rollins or vice versa. So there is a little bit of flexibility there. And hopefully the Packers can sort of figure out some sort of balance, especially in the beginning, where they're not sort of too hindered by their defensive secondary.
Yeah, I tend to think they're going to bring these guys along slowly, and maybe one of them will, you know, kind of settle into a nickel or dime role, and the other kind of maybe, may not receive all that much playing time outside of special teams. But things like injuries have a way of happening in the NFL, and maybe eventually they do settle into a bigger role. But I do kind of agree that they'll be brought along slowly. On the offensive side of the football, you found rookie quarterbacks generally struggle compared to other positions. Not a surprise, like you've said, that kind of there's a lot on their plate in their rookie season. So perhaps it's a good thing Brett Hundley will sit for a while. But I guess my question to you is, do you think he'll sit as long behind Aaron Rodgers as Rodgers did behind Brett Favre?
It's kind of a tricky question because I think that has more to do with Rodgers than it does with Hundley. Because at least for Favre, when the Packers drafted Rodgers, it was pretty apparent that Favre was close to retirement, right? So, I mean, would the Packers have preferred that Favre, retired in 2 years rather than three so that Rodgers could take over? Perhaps, but I mean, nothing's perfect. But then for Rodgers, I mean, he's only, what, 30, 31? 30. Yeah, I mean, he's in his 30s, right? He's very young and he's in his prime. So realistically, Hundley, won't get a shot, which I wrote another article about, which was a lot of fun with commenters. But overall, it's hard to say. I mean, also the point of the fact, or also it should be mentioned that Rodgers came from a more pro style offense than Hundley did. So the transition is going to be greater on that end. But I mean, overall, if Hundley never plays it down while Rodgers is starting, that'd be great.
And I think that leads to the, sentiment that, eventually Brett Hundley might be traded, and the next starting quarterback of the Packers still isn't on the roster yet, if and when, at the point Aaron Rodgers does eventually retire or whatever. Also, on offense, the position that seems to see the most success as rookies are the running backs. And I guess, the Packers didn't draft any, but do you think that means good things for players like John Crockett and Alonzo Harris, the undrafted rookies the Packers signed? And do you think either of them have a realistic chance of making the Packers 53-man roster?
Well, I think the Packers will carry a third running back. The question is, number one, is it going to be Rutkowski? Because if they have two fullbacks, they got to pull a spot from somewhere else. And the second one is that I actually like Rajon Neal, who's kind of a rookie since I believe he's an undrafted rookie free agent from last year, but he got hurt in the preseason. But before that, he actually played really, really well. So there's actually, I'd say, four guys with Crockett, Harris, Neal, and Rutkowski sort of vying for that last running back spot. Of course, that's presuming that Kuhn remains the starter at fullback.
I tend to think they kind of lump almost the fullbacks and the tight ends together, and think maybe they'll keep like five of those between those, kind of positions combined, seeing as, like tight ends practically play that H-back role where they line up in the backfield. Kind of different than it used to be in the NFL. Things kind of changing. Coming back to a similar topic here. Now you found like quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and outside linebackers, once again, generally seeming to be the positions that have the most difficulty in the rookie seasons. Do you think the Packers purposely avoided those positions high in the NFL draft, or do you think it's just coincidence that those were kind of low priorities with good depth already on the Packers roster at those positions?
Well, I mean, if you subscribe to the Thompson theory of best player available, it's almost by default coincidence. If they pick the best player available, if it happens to not be a quarterback, an offensive tackler, an outside linebacker, then that's just kind of the way it goes. But one idea that's kind of been thrown about is actually that since quarterbacks and offensive tackles and sort of players who rush the quarterback are very hard positions to play, teams tend to draft them higher in order to sort of negate some of that difficulty. So obviously, if you have a first round talent playing one of these positions, you assume that they have a better shot of, transitioning and making it in the NFL versus, say, a seventh round draft pick, which kind of only makes the, the Tom Brady story, that much more insane, or like sort of the low round draft picks that do incredibly well, is quite surprising. So, I mean, I think fans have, I almost hate to say it this way, but I think Corey Linsley has sort of spoiled a lot of fans in terms of late round draft picks. Like, no one should really expect a fifth round offensive lineman to like start every game and be the third ranked center in the NFL and, almost make the Pro Bowl and have, the accolades of the NFL MVP. Like, this is very, very unrealistic. And people who keep pointing out that Lindsey did so well, like, you have to realize that like, he might be the only guy 2014 who did that, right? So, I think you need to temper your expectations, especially for players sort of in the fifth or seventh rounds. I did an analysis a while back showing that in terms of value, it's sort of an exponential decay. So rounds one through three are kind of where you expect the most value to come out with. Four is sort of the turning point, and then five through seven is sort of all the same and quite low. So,
A
I
crap
mean,
shoot.
yeah, exactly. So don't expect, Kennard Backman, right, or some other, fifth to seventh round rookie this year to really like do what Lindsley did.
Yeah, that would be unrealistic. Thomas, I should have started off the show with this, seeing as you're just kind of introducing yourself to the Cheesehead TV audience. Now you tell us a little bit about your background. Now you're from Canada, correct?
Oh no, I'm actually an American, but I moved to Canada.
Gotcha. Okay. And how did that all happen?
I went to grad school essentially, so that's pretty much it.
Okay, where do you live right now?
So I live in Vancouver, which was kind of annoying while the Super Bowl was going on.
I imagine there's a lot of Seahawks fans out there. Is it all Women's World Cup right now? Is that kind of
Oh yeah.
taking over the town?
Definitely. It's all about the Women's World Cup right now.
So how where did you grow up originally? In America.
So I'm actually from California.
Okay, so how did a Californian become a Packers fan?
So basically in junior high, one of my friends actually like taught me about football, and he was from Wisconsin, so he rooted for the Packers, so obviously I had to root for the Packers as well, and I just never bothered to switch to the 49ers.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you waking up early. I mean, it's really early out on the West Coast. So, thank you so much for an early wake up call here on a
Oh,
Wednesday
not a
morning.
problem.
All right. Well, we look forward to the rest of your work at cheeseheadtv.com, and thanks for joining us, Thomas.
Take care.
All right, take care. Thomas Hobbs of cheeseheadtv.com. On Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, as well, for joining us this morning as we continue our discussion on the Green Bay Packers. I posted to Twitter before the show, just kind of asked, which Packers rookie do you have the highest expectations for? I thought appropriately here at the start of the NFL's Rookie Symposium, and got quite a bit of feedback here on opinions from people on who they think who they have the highest expectations for. I'll try to share a couple of them there. I'm not sure I can get to them all because everybody wanted to chime in on this topic. Let's see here. From Shyam Sundaraman, I'm probably butchering the name, and I apologize. He says Ty Montgomery and redshirt rookie Jared Abradara. So not a true rookie there, but seeing as his rookie season was basically lost, high expectations for Jared Abradara as well. Let's see. Lindsey Johns J on Twitter says Quentin Rollins, but looking for big things from Ty Montgomery too. Let's see. Amar Desai on Twitter says, I'm going to have to throw Randall and Rollins, but obviously I see potential in Montgomery on special teams. Jay Hodgson of Cheesehead TV chiming in on Twitter. Quentin Rollins because I think his ceiling is incredibly high. He is a first-round talent nabbed in the second round. Packers with about seven S's at the end of Packers on Twitter says Demaryius Randle because he was picked in the first round. And that seems to be an obvious point here made by several people, including LeJohn Brames on Twitter says, I personally have the highest expectations for the first round pick, Demaryius Randle. Here's a new one. Josh Harwood on Twitter says, the guy from Michigan, because we could really use a good inside linebacker. Russ Gopacko says, cornerback. I feel Green Bay's greatest liability, especially when a few players get dinged up and miss time, which will obviously happen. Ross Uglum on Twitter says, Montgomery for 2015. Potential to make the abysmal kickoff return unit above average, which will seem like a revelation. Yes, it will, if they are able to improve the team in that aspect. Robert Albanese on Twitter says, Montgomery, Green Bay has renewed focus on special teams and establishing field position on on returns will have the most impact. Let's see. Nathan Plitzewelt says, I'm excited to see Ty Montgomery, a smart player with strength, quickness, and speed, find ways to get the ball in his hands. And that's just a sampling here of what Packers Nation thinks. One more here. Samuel Shear, Sam I Am Shear 13 on Twitter says, I'm going to go with Jake Ryan to help stabilize the linebacking unit. So pretty much there is people chiming in on all of the Packers four, you know, highest draft choices, basically from the first round to the fourth round, pretty much nothing from there onwards. I don't think I got any responses from Brett Hundley, Aaron Ripkowski, you know, Christian Ringo, Kennard Backman, anything like that. It's the high round draft choices that people seem to be the highest on, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty well, you know, broken up between, you know, Randle, Rollins, Montgomery, and Jake Ryan. Pretty much people chiming in on all of them, mentioning all of them. You know, I suppose rather surprisingly, I guess because, you know, partially because Demaryius Randle, it was kind of a surprise pick in the first round for the Packers. I don't think a lot of people really knew him, or if they did, they kind of knew he was a safety, and people really didn't think the Packers would be, you know, drafting a safety, not knowing they would convert him to cornerback. So I guess, you know, that just the inexperience or the not really knowing much about Demaryius Randle kind of maybe places a little bit lower expectations on him than usual. And that's why as many people, you know, see, Jake Ryan, a fourth round draft choice, not a day one choice, not a day two choice, a day three choice, people having high expectations for him also because, you know, that people kind of see, oh, there's a starting spot open at linebacker, potentially at inside linebacker, and Ryan has the opportunity to kind of step into that role. So take that for what you will. A lot of different opinions on the topic of the rookie with the highest expectations in 2015. But continuing on with the show here.
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday, as we mentioned earlier, kind of the biggest news coming out of Green Bay is that family night is sold out. So approximately 75,000 tickets have been distributed. And this happened in basically just one day after they went on sale. Tickets went on sale at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time on Monday. And by Tuesday afternoon, the press release came out that they have sold out already. So it did not take long whatsoever for the annual Packers practice to sell out. That's right. We need some Allen Iverson sound clips here. I probably should have gone on that before the show. Practice? We're talking about practice? Yes. In Green Bay, they are selling out a practice to a sold-out stadium. You know, nothing new here. This is, I think the Packers organization pointed out themselves, this is the ninth time in 15 years that Family Night has sold out. So nothing new there in Green Bay, but it just is always remarkable as this, you know, comes up every year to sit there and think that, you know, that there's probably nowhere else in the NFL where this is happening to this extent. There are other, you know, kind of NFL teams that hold scrimmages or things like that, intra-squad scrimmages, practices open to the public, but none in front of a sold-out stadium that I'm aware of, or at least sold out to the extent of 75,000-plus tickets. And that isn't, you know, counting the people who work in the stadium who are going to be there regardless. I'm not sure if it even really includes the suites or anything like that, but remarkable what Packers Nation was able to do. But the other one bit of a news item coming out in the past 24 hours or so, the Packers announced that the new restaurant inside Lambeau Field, 1919 Kitchen and Tap, the grand opening will be held July 24th. And it's kind of been known for a long time that the opening was going to happen sometime in the month of July, sometime before training camp. Never really, you know, prior to yesterday, were holding themselves to a precise, you know, exact date. Now we know it, July 24th, which happens to be a Friday. And I thought kind of the interesting part was that, yes, it's going to be opening before the start of training camp, before the annual shareholders meeting in which, you know, the Green Bay Packers receive an influx of fans to Green Bay and Lambeau Field, you know, just days prior to the start of training camp, in which they'll be able to check it out and go eat there and whatever. But then I know I kind of wondered, and I know just from reading social media as well, people actually responding to me, you know, why wasn't it opening in time for the induction of Brett Favre into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, which happens on July 18th. You would have thought, you know, hey, there's going to be, they sold out that as well. Remember, something like 68,000 tickets have been distributed to the opportunity to view Brett Favre's enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. That can be viewed on video boards inside the Stadium Bowl at Lambeau Field. So you would have thought, wow, I mean, they're passing up a full stadium. You know, why couldn't they get this going a few days earlier? And the Packers don't address this in their press release or their article in which they released on Tuesday. But if I'm going to speculate here, I guess it would be that, you know, the Lambeau Field has undergone a transformation here. The renovations that they've done, the restaurant that it's replacing, Curly's Pub, if you remember, used to be located on the second floor of the atrium, and now they've kind of switched things around where things are located. In that the pro shop is now at the ground level, the new restaurant, 1919 Kitchen and Tap, is located at the first floor level, and the Hall of Fame is up on the second floor. And, you know, I think part of it is because they want, you know, the most accessible things to be ground level, where people will be, you know, maybe if they don't venture up to the second floor, the places where they spend money will be at ground level. Whereas, you know, if you're going to the Packers Hall of Fame, you will make it a point to go up to the second floor to get there. So I'm thinking that, you know, maybe they just didn't want to interfere with the enshrinement ceremony on July 18th, because even though it can be viewed inside the stadium on the video boards, the ceremony itself, if you've never been there, don't know, actually takes place inside the atrium. They actually kind of clear things out. They set up dining tables, things like that. So it actually takes place inside. It doesn't take place inside the stadium bowl on the field or anything like that. So maybe they just didn't want, you know, kind of the grand opening of a restaurant, you know, to kind of be right adjacent to the ceremony, and they don't want noises coming out of the kitchen and out of the dining room to kind of spill over into a, you know, the formal ceremony that's taking place, you know, right adjacent to it. I guess that would be my thinking as to why they did that and why it's not opening a little bit earlier, just in case you were wondering. But the next segment of the show,
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Wednesday, as we talked about before, the rookie symposium begins today for the Packers draft choices. And what's happening here is that if you had already heard that the symposium started, it did. What the NFL does is it breaks it up by conference. The AFC is basically, they are done as of Wednesday. The rookie symposium for them began on Sunday, so it was held 4 days long, Sunday through Wednesday. And at the same time, the NFC begins theirs on Wednesday and ends this upcoming Saturday. So 4 days as well, just kind of, you know, staggered starts, I guess you could say. So if that confused you at all, that's how they kind of do this. It used to be, I believe, that they held the NFL, all the rookies, all at the same time. Now they've tried to get them to break them up into a little bit smaller groups. But, you know, this is, as we talked about before, apparently their orientation into the NFL, just kind of to, you know, things that they've published, the NFL, what they focus on here, the rookie symposium emphasizes the sport's legacy and tradition of character and leadership, as well as social and professional responsibility. And, you know, over the course of the next 4 days, the Packers rookies and all the rookies, they'll hear presentations, watch videos, and participate on workshops on player health and safety, decision-making, mental health, substance abuse, finance, building a winning culture, and bystander intervention. These are just, you know, some of the things they'll be experiencing at the rookie symposium. Over the course of the next 4 days here, at one point, they're going to take a trip to the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. The rookie symposium is actually held in Aurora, Ohio, and it's held there because it's kind of near, for one, Canton, and for two, it's also held near the, you know, Cleveland Browns training facility, because one of the days, and I believe it's actually Friday, the Packers rookies and the rest of the NFC rookies will hold a Play 60 event with children from the local area coming to the training facility of the Cleveland Browns, where they kind of put on this little bit of, you know, Play 60 clinic or whatever for young children. And it's a cool event. It's a photo op that, you know, media comes out and takes pictures, but it's, you know, just good for the children as well. And, you know, this is kind of a long time initiative of the NFL to, you know, get kids healthy and get them involved and get them in shape and things like that. So those are things the Packers rookies will be doing over the next few days. And this kind of ends like their, the rookies' obligations during the off season. You know, when minicamp ended, the veterans basically, they've already started vacation. For the rookies, it ended, you know, it kind of lasted another week as they had this obligation to attend the rookie symposium. And now they'll be able to go on vacation too here in this 5 weeks or so until training camp starts. So we really start entering the dead period here of the NFL. And in fact, that kind of brings me into my next point here. As we do enter the dead point of the off season, there will be no episode of Railbird Central on Friday. I have the day off, and probably no better time to take time off than during now that the summer has started and we're just about to the 4th of July Independence Day. It's a good time to be taking off. So no episode of Railbird Central on Friday, but we'll be back again on Monday next week. And in fact, I'm excited. The next guest will be airing an interview with former Green Bay Packers offensive lineman and Super Bowl champion Aaron Taylor joining us for an interview on Monday. We'll air that interview then. And current CBS Sports college football analyst, you may be seeing Aaron Taylor, may have seen in recent seasons him talking about college football on television. That's what he does nowadays. Former Packers offensive lineman and Super Bowl 31 champion. So really excited for that. Excited to have him on the show. So while you don't have a show on Friday, you can at least look forward to a really awesome guest on Monday. So we'll talk some more Packers football then. But thank you everybody for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to Thomas Hobbs of CheeseheadTV.com for joining us on the show. And we'll talk to you later, folks. As usual, my call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. This podcast is free, no subscription, no paywall. One small thing we ask, give us a rating on iTunes. Helps us get word out about the show, and we'd appreciate it if you do. But we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, pack, go. Clean.